Blog Talk Radio.
This has always been a word planet. God designed it that way. See, he spoke the universe into being. It's Genesis, the first chapter. For the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, the word of the Lord is great and powerful, and it shall last from age to age. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we welcome you to our broadcast today. We are so thankful just to be on the air and to be on to teach the word of God and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're so happy about that. We thank God for all of those that will be calling in, all of those that will be logging in, all of those that will listen to the archive broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you because it is our endeavor to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to teach the word that people will be blessed and have a firm foundation to stand on so that when the winds come, the storms come, that you will still be standing no matter what it is that the enemy tries to bring your way. We are so glad about that, and we're so excited about our series. We're continuing on. We finished up our foundational series, and now we are going into a series, teaching series on the Holy Ghost. And we started it on last week, and we were so thankful for Bishop Allen, who is teaching this wonderful series, and so we're so thankful for that. And we're glad that we're just able just to do it, that we're able, and hopefully that people will be blessed by it, and all of those that need this word will hear it, and they will find this broadcast, and they will be able to listen and be enriched by it. So we're thankful for about that. We're thankful for all those that are on the line at this time. We're so grateful for your participation and your willingness to be a part, and we're just so glad about that and for all that the time that you have sacrificed, because most of you have been teaching and have been a blessing to the people of God through teaching and bringing the word of God, and we're so thankful for that because I never take for granted people's time because people do not have to give their time, but I'm so grateful for each and every one of you and your participation in this broadcast, because I surely could not have done it without any one of you. And so thank you so much. And we just want to start our broadcast out with prayer, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm going to ask Elder Poston if he would give us our opening prayer today.
Okay. Father God, we thank you. We glorify you. We praise you, O Lord God. We magnify you. For the awesome God that you are, Lord God, we pray that the word to go forth, that it will be seed to our good ground, and that, O Lord God, it would produce a fruit that will be pleasant in our sight, O Lord God. Let your word go forth, God, to teach us, Lord, to heal us, to deliver us from everything that we're dealing with in the world today, O Lord God. We turn to you, asking you and seeking you for the answers to all the situations that we face, O Lord God. We thank you, God, because we stand on the truth of your word, knowing that you will lift up a standard against the enemy, O Lord God, and you will supply our every need. You are our God above all. We thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. Lead us, guide us, deliver us, heal us. Make us into what you desire for us to be, God. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer. And I know I have, and who's on the line so far?
Elder Poston.
Elder and Sister Dotson.
Amen.
Henry Creighton.
And then we have one more person online. Okay, so we're still waiting on Bishop Allen to come on the line. And so we, as we will
here
just do a okay, we will short, do a short recap. Hello? We will do a short recap of last week's lesson. We started talking about the Holy Ghost, and he took us through several passages of Scripture. That would so that we could begin our study on the Holy Ghost, and he talked about, he started us off in 1 John, in the 7th and the 8th verse, the first chapter, 7th and the 8th verse, and we talked about that particular passage of Scripture. Let me get it on while we're waiting on him to come on the line. I talked to him just a few minutes ago, so I know he'll be on here. But if
you said that was 1 John?
Yeah, it was 1 John. I think it was it 5, 7, and 8? Okay. He talked about our need for the Holy Ghost and how that, you know, we have to have the Holy Ghost if we're going to, that is a part of the plan. It's just more than just being baptized. It's also being baptized because John even said in Matthew, he said that he will come and he will baptize, that you will be baptized not only with water but in spirit. And even Jesus said when he was in the demons, he said, you must be baptized in the water and of the spirit. And so these are the things that we're beginning to explore and the Holy, you know, talk about the Holy Ghost. Do you have that particular scripture?
You said 1 John, not 2 John, right?
No, I said 1 John, yeah, 1 John.
Okay, 1 John.
We'll just do a short recap. And if any of the other Elder Dotson, you was on the line last week as well, and Elder Minister Henry, if you all have anything that you want to recap as far as our first lesson was concerned, feel free to jump in if you want to. It's anyway, 1 John.
I have
It was 1 John 5 and 7.
Okay.
Okay.
5, 7, and 8. Okay.
I have that.
So, okay.
Okay, 1 John 5 and 7.
And 8, by the way. And 8.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 John 5, 7, and 8. 5, 7,
okay.
And 8, yeah.
Okay, 1 John chapter 5. Starting with verse 7, this is King James Version. It says, "For there are the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Verse 8, "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one." Amen. That was 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And to just elaborate what it's saying, if you look at the 1 John 7, chapter 5, verse 7, and like I just read, it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And so from the heaven's perspective to the earth's perspective, is what we get into when we read verse 8 about that three that bear witness in earth, which are the Spirit and the water and the blood.
Okay, go ahead, you all. I'm on.
Okay, we have Bishop Allen. Bishop Allen, you on the line?
I am here.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Anthony, and then we was just doing a short recap of last week, and then after the recap, we'll hand it over to you, and you can go forward.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, Bishop. Basically, what we've done so far is just read the beginning scripture that you gave to us last week in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And I'll read those again if anybody's just coming in. So we just read verse 5, chapter 5 of 1 John. Not St. John, 1 John, Saints.
Yes.
Chapter 5. And it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." The three that bear record in heaven are one. Verse 8 says, "And there are three that bear witness in earth." So we're bearing record, and then we're bearing witness in earth.
Yes, sir.
So the three that bear witness to what the record is in heaven is the Spirit and the water and the blood. And
yes, sir.
These three agree in one.
Yes, sir. That's different.
Yes,
you want
sir.
Me to say something? You want me to say something about that?
Yes, go ahead, Bishop.
Okay, now, it comes simply down to this. The three that bear record in heaven is the eternal God, the Father, the Word which was made flesh, and the Holy Ghost. Now, they were here from all time. Everything that proceeded into any universe or into the earth came from that entity because that's eternal. Now, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, or since the Son has come, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you say are one. Now, where the mix-up comes in, the people get the idea that it's three persons in one. But the problem with that being three persons, if you have three separate persons, you have three separate independent individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are independent, they're not one. They have their own separate persons, own separate thoughts, own separate. But the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost don't have separate thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost don't think for itself. The Son don't think for itself. The Son said, "I don't think or do nothing but what I hear the Father doing."
Yeah.
So the Father was in Christ when he was on earth, reconciling the world to himself. So that was him talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what it ends up being is they're not independent, they're interdependent. They're interdependent like a clock. You know, all those spokes on that clock that turn. One can't turn without the other turning, or you don't have no time. It's the same way with the Father, the Word, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Whatever the Father is doing, the Son is the one that has been given the authority from the Father to do what the Father. Everything depends on what the Father wants. The Holy Ghost do what the Father wants. The Son does what the Father wants. So the Father is in the Son and the Holy Ghost. See? So this whole thing about the earth It's all for the pleasure, the simple pleasure of God, what he wanted. Everything, every time you open the Bible, when those guys write a book in the Bible, they say, from the Father, God our Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You can't talk about one without talking about the other, because they're all really three components of the same God.
Mm-hmm.
See? It's just like you and me. Now, we have you, Brother Dodson, you, Sister Denise, and the other brother, what's his name?
Paulson.
All right. Now, all of you all have your own person. But in your person, you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. You have arms, you have legs, you have all that. But none of those work independently.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing now, the talk I'm doing with my mouth, I had to think it with my brain before I could say it with my mouth.
Yes.
And if I said, I'm going outside and get in my car and drive down the street. Well, when I do get in my car and drive down the street, I had to think that first. I said it to myself, and then I did it. That's three different actions from the same person.
Yes.
It's the same thing with the Godhead. I'm interdependent. All my functions in my body are interdependent of the other function. If my heart stops beating, everything stops. See?
Yeah.
Everything God put in your body is dependent upon the next system, the skeletal system, the blood system. All the systems in your body are interdependent. See? If anything happens, if you cut your finger, it hurts. How do you know it hurts? The brain said it hurts. Oh, that's a simple explanation. So what we got to get as a foundation on all this stuff is that there are three that bear record in heaven. And it means that the record of everything that happens in the earth or the universe is recorded in the Godhead.
So basically,
a flea can't fly in Africa unless it's recorded. And God knows the name of the flea, and he knows who he stung. And he knows who got sick from it.
Yeah.
And he knows how many fleas are in Africa. And the hairs on your head are numbered.
Yeah.
So that's the Godhead. All information, it's like a computer up there. Everything that goes on in the universe is recorded.
Bishop Allen.
Yes, sir.
I hope this is not taking you out, but I just feel like the Lord is
go right
giving
ahead.
Me this
go right
to interject. Because when
go
we
right
look
ahead.
At these verses, when we look at these verses, verse 7 says there are three that bear record. So
yes,
the Lord gave me bear record in heaven. So what is to bear the record? The record is the facts, the truth about what is. That's the record. So if I have been convicted of a felony, when I go to court, they're going to look at my record.
Yes, sir.
Which is going to tell them the facts about what I actually done. That's the truth about who I am and what I've done. And so and then in the earth, it says there are three that bear witness. Now, the witness comes to testify that what the record says is true.
Come on.
And that's done in the earth.
Come on.
So God is establishing and verifying in the earth what he has established as truth in heaven as the record.
You got it. You got it. You got it, brother. You got it. You got it. See?
Thank you, Lord.
One incident of that is when Jesus came to earth, said there are three that bear witness, not record, witness in the earth.
Witness, yes.
The blood, the water, and the spirit. So we know when Jesus was baptized, that was the water.
Mm-hmm.
We know when the voice came from heaven and appeared onto his head as a dove, that was the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we know when he died on Calvary, that was the blood.
Yeah.
All three of them were not one, but they agreed in one. In other words, they all came with the agreement that this is what's going to happen. See?
Right.
Now, the three in heaven are one. The three in the earth agree in one. Which means the blood, the water, and the Spirit are in agreement on earth. Everything was agreeing that Jesus was going to that cross from the day he stepped in that water and John baptized him. Everything was in agreement. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost coming on down from heaven.
Oh, my God.
And he was baptized in the water, and then he went on to Calvary. Now, the flesh didn't want to go. That's how you can preach that.
Uh-huh.
So the flesh didn't want to go. But he come into the flesh so he could deal with the flesh and prove that you can get the victory over the flesh.
Yeah.
Right.
You see? That was witnessing. Uh-huh. That was witnessing right there. He said, I don't want to go up there.
Uh-huh.
He said, my spirit is willing to go, but my flesh is weak.
Oh, my God.
But he kept on praying in agreement. He stayed in agreement. Because the blood had to be shed.
Yeah.
So he said, well, not my will. If it be your will, not my will, but thy will be done. He had to pray himself into the agreement. He prayed so hard. So what? Sweat did what?
Sweat fell on his face like drops of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. But he pressed his way. And God sent the angels to help him in that agreement. Agreement had to come to pass.
Right.
That blood had to come. That blood had to come. His blood had to come. Nobody else. It couldn't be Abraham's blood. Couldn't be nobody else's blood. It had to be his. All right, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to back down. Because I read further, and verse 8 says, and we're talking about the Holy Ghost, so I don't want anybody to get confused, so we're talking about the Holy Ghost. And verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and of the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, verse 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is great. For this is the witness of God which hath testified of his Son.
Mm-hmm.
He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. So what that's saying to me is the witnesses come to testify to say that what the record is saying is true.
Yes,
so if we believe the witnesses of God, then we can believe that the record is true.
Yeah. When you got a witness down there, each one of us are supposed to be witnesses. So that
right.
means that everything we say is supposed to bear witness to that truth of that record you just talked about.
Ooh.
And if it ain't, we out of line.
It's there.
If you... If you up there and you preaching or you whatever you're doing and you say something that is not in agreement with that record, you're not agreeing as one. You're not agreeing in one. See, everything I say in this earth about God has to be in agreement with the fact that you just said that Jesus was sent.
Mm-hmm.
and that Jesus was God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. And that's the record. That's the record.
And that's right. I'm off right there. If I don't believe that, if I don't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, I will die in my sins.
Mm.
You die in your sins. That's what Jesus told the Pharisee. If you don't believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sin. See?
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying to the people today, you got to believe that God was in Christ. Now, I don't want to name no religions, but I'm trying to help my Muslim brothers.
Yes.
To believe that Jesus was God in the flesh.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, and if I can't say that and believe it, then I can't be saved.
Right. Mm.
Yes. You know, Bishop Elder Poston was saying that that record is the truth, and the Bible says the truth shall make you free.
That's what I just said. You can't be free from sin without the truth.
Mm-mm.
You're still in your sins if you don't accept and believe the truth.
Mm.
See, and that's what hits you. If you're still in your sins, don't die.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm.
Because you know if you die in your sins, how you going to wake up?
Mm.
Oh, please.
See, and this is, you all, I know this is tough stuff in this generation. Generations ago, it wasn't so tough to them. But when you say something like I just said, to this generation, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's more difficult for them to accept that.
Yeah.
Because they think God is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That he's going to bypass everything wrong with us and take us anyhow. I was reading about religions the other day. And I came across a religion, and I looked it up, and it's one of our common religions we got around here, and it said, this religion believes that every man will eventually be saved.
Hmm.
And I stopped, and I said, hold on just a minute. I read that again. It says, this religion believes that every man will eventually be saved. Now, if you believe that, then what you have just done is undercut the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he said he wished it. Well, go ahead. I was going to say, God said himself. He wished it all would come to repentance. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Right.
But he said, no.
And if you believe
saying,
that, you're a false witness. Because you're not bearing true, you're not witnessing to the true record. That's a false witness.
That's right. Because what that's saying is, no matter what a man does and no matter how he dies, he's going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, if you say that, you didn't need Jesus.
That's right.
Thank you.
You didn't need Jesus to die to save you. If you're going to be saved anyhow, what's the need of Jesus coming?
Mm-hmm.
He came to save his people from their sins.
Mm-hmm.
See? And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God, according to the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, cannot take a sinful man to heaven. Now, let me be real simple with that. All the Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them, died. But when they died, before Jesus came, none of them went to heaven.
No.
No. You know why? You know why? Because they hadn't had the testimony of the witness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
They were waiting on him. They were looking for him. But they never got a chance to get the activity that was necessary to get rid of their sins.
Right.
Now, they were covered with the blood of bulls and goats. That's their blood. But that blood was not efficient. Or
there
sufficient.
Was no remission.
That's right. Abraham died a righteous man. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a witness in his son Isaac, who was the promised son, a type of Jesus Christ. And he died looking for Christ to come. So while he was looking, y'all, God put him in paradise in the earth when he died. And every Old Testament righteous saint who died in the Old Testament went to the bosom of Abraham.
Hmm.
Am I in scripture? Am I telling the truth?
Yes. Yes.
And when Diades died, he was the poor man, and the rich man died. Y'all know that story. They went down. They couldn't go up, but they went down. Both of them went down. Now, one of them went to hell. The other one went to Abraham's bosom.
Yes.
What was the story? What was the story down there?
It was hot, because he said, "Can you just dip your finger in the water and cool my tongue?" It was hot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. And what was the answer?
No. Well, that's my short version. He said, "If you would not believe one that
I sent before me." You know, you didn't want to believe Moses. You don't want to believe them. Why are you going to believe one sent from the grave?
Exactly. Talking about Jesus.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, and also there's a gulf between us.
There's a gulf. Yeah.
Now, what was the gulf? He said, so one can't cross over and the other can't cross over. If you go to one, you're there.
Right.
You can't get out. If you go to the other, you are saved in Abraham's bosom until Jesus came down there.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is, everybody or anybody that dies outside of God is going to that other place.
Mm-hmm.
Now people teach about purgatory.
Yes.
And they say, well, if you die in your sins, you go to a place in the ground called purgatory, and you stay there until you're cleaned up from your sin down there. And my question is, if you can get cleaned up down there, why are you worrying about getting cleaned up here?
You better stay.
Exactly. He wouldn't have had to die.
See,
right.
It would be it'd been unnecessary for his death.
Mm-hmm.
See, because he came to save his people. What?
From their sins.
From. And that was the whole thing. And you know the story of all that. When he died, he said, "It is finished." Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's finished on earth. Now, I got, as the Bible says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so would Jesus be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. And he was down there 3 days and 3 nights. And when he come out of there, he came up to Abraham's paradise, and what did he do? He
that's
said,
he
I am, that's right, I'm your Messiah. You've been waiting on. And I've been down into hell, he said. And I'm on my way back up. And I have the keys to death and hell in my hands. See, the devil had the keys to death and hell. But he said, I took the keys away from the devil. Now I'm going to unlock paradise and let y'all out. And y'all going on up with me. And y'all know the story. Those that were in there came on up with Jesus after the third day, and they walked the streets of Jerusalem 40 days and appeared to many after the resurrection. Think about it. Think about it. So all of this is the truth the brother was talking about. What was your brother's name?
Anthony Poston.
Oh, is that Poston?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's
I didn't recognize your voice. Okay. Okay.
That's me, Bishop.
Okay. Yeah. So now this is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost was all about in sending the Word in the Godhead became flesh to do this, to shed blood, and that blood was God's blood. That was God's blood that was shed on Calvary. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now, Jesus said before he died, what did Nicodemus ask him? Well, go ahead.
I'm going to read it. I'm trying to get it.
Yeah, we still talking about the Holy Ghost. We still talk about the Holy Ghost. It's a whole lot to that Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Nicodemus asking, how can a man be born again?
Yes.
And he enter into his mother's womb and be born again?
Yes. And what Jesus
said. He said you got to be born of the water and the spirit. You must be born of you must be born again of the water and the spirit.
All right. So that religion that said every man will eventually be saved anyhow. This contradicts what he said.
Yep.
He said, except a man
be born.
That pinpoints it. Of the water and the spirit, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. That's what I said.
What
the rapture can't take you out of here unless you are in the kingdom when he comes.
Yes.
If you're not in the kingdom, I'm not talking about in the church.
Kingdom. That's a different
kingdom.
Come on now. Come on now. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink.
Nope.
Yes, Lord.
What
it's
is righteous.
In the Holy Ghost.
Peace
and in the Holy Ghost.
And joy.
In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost.
Seek ye not the things that you're seeking, but seek ye the kingdom of God and all his righteousness.
And all these things.
So, don't let nobody tell you everybody's going to heaven anyhow. And all men will eventually go. I don't know. I could call the name of the religion, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. But that pastor had better read what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because he's leading the people wrong.
Yeah. Well, this is a verse I want to read. It's in 2 Peter 3 and 9. And it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we all have to come to repentance. Yeah, he's not willing.
He don't want it to happen. That's what it said. He don't want this to happen. Yeah. That's why he's talking about repentance.
Exactly.
That's the truth now. Brother Poston. That's your truth right there.
Yes.
And you got to, y'all, we got to stand on that for this generation. Don't slack up off of it. See, because what I just told you about that religion, it's a whole lot of them in that. And yeah. It got these young people today believing that no matter what you do, eventually you're going to be saved.
No.
No.
Because God loves you.
He loves us, and he's not willing that any of us should perish, but we got to come to repentance.
Come on.
Right.
That's the condition. See?
Bishop, what is your saying on, you hear a lot of people say, once saved, always saved. Well, I'm saved, and that's it. No, he's saved. He's gonna always be saved, regardless of what they do. They've been saved, so that's
all
it.
Right. What are you asking me?
Well, what I'm asking you. But,
who am I talking to?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Elder Russell.
Okay.
Elder
Go
Russell.
Ahead.
I've enjoyed you. I just thought about that. Once saved, always saved. Have you heard
well,
that?
Well, a lot of people are talking about that.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, you know,
like
it's
that.
Like. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to get your opinion on that. That's all.
Well. Here it is, the truth. When, if you ever really get saved, the old you is gone.
Mm.
You can't find him nowhere. If you really get really saved now, I ain't talking about just coming and joining the church and singing a choir. Mm. I ain't talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking if you really get born again, you can't go back into your mother's womb, no.
Mm-hmm.
But your old man is rebirthed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The old man is crucified. He's dead.
He's dead.
You are
but you
dead.
Know, he's
now,
dead.
Now, what people are talking about
mm-hmm.
is the folk that get into church and say, I'm saved and born again, they really not.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do, they stay with God a little while because they don't have the P-O-W-E-R, power of the Holy Ghost, to stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You're not going to stay with it without the Holy Ghost. You're not going to stay with it.
And you know what, Bishop?
Your flesh is too weak. Your flesh is too weak.
To give it a more modern or update to where people could understand what the Lord just said to me was, it's like when we get married, to death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
Once saved, always saved. Well, that's the same as to death do us part. But if
mm-hmm.
that was the case, we wouldn't have divorce. Now, God didn't desire divorce, but the people want it. So once saved, always saved, that's still your choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I take it way deeper than that, Anthony,
mm-hmm.
if my old life is destroyed, where do you go get it?
You can't.
Mm-mm.
That's right. And that's why it's got to be crucified. See,
mm-hmm.
people don't stay with God long enough to get crucified.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They stay a while until they get weak. But until they get on the cross and do what Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless,
yes.
I live. Yet not I, but the Christ. Until you come to that point of crucifixion, you can get off the cross.
Wow.
Until you die on the cross. You can get off the cross. That's what they talk about when they say once in Christ and all that stuff.
Because
they got off the cross. Now, if you get up there like Christ, you can't get off. Them nails won't let you off. Oh, this is the Holy Ghost now.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you really get up there and get crucified, You can't come down.
So,
but if
Bishop,
you get up there and you're half nailed, you're going to pull them nails out and come on down and go to walk like you used to walk. But if you get nailed down by the truth, the power of the Holy Ghost seal, S-E-A-L, seal you till the day of redemption, not for a few minutes, but till the day of redemption.
Yes,
Bishop.
Now,
Bishop,
you ain't coming down. In fact, when you get up there, you don't want to come down. Jesus didn't want to come down. Once he got out of that Garden of Gethsemane and said, not my will, but thine will be done. Hey, the cross was a piece of cake.
So, Bishop, this is Henry. Can I draw your attention to something with what you're saying so you can probably further expand on it?
Yeah,
I mean, like you mentioned, we talk about John chapter 3 with Jesus and Nicodemus. And Jesus told him, except you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. You got to come through that. But then we see Jesus further expand on the Spirit in chapter 4 with his encounter with the woman. So you are just talking now about going to the cross and remaining on the cross and the Holy Spirit keeping you there. So that means the Holy Spirit produces a level of contentment and satisfaction, which is rooted in knowledge, that causes you to remain. And if Jesus now is telling the woman that I will give you water that you will thirst no more, which is talking about the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus further said that he further tells the woman that in chapter 24, in verse 24, he said that, he said, God is a spirit.
Yes.
And the people who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth.
Yes.
And so that is very interesting with what you're saying as we talk about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit produces satisfaction. So definitely if you don't have the Holy Spirit to keep you grounded and rooted, that it produces a level of satisfaction, it produces true worship, then that means it is impossible then to walk with God.
Yes, sir. Yeah, what you're really looking at on this crucifixion thing, when I say you won't come off the cross, I take you to another scripture in Colossians. Here's what he says in Colossians 3. If you be risen with Christ. So crucifixion is one step. Resurrection is another. See, I'm talking about people that's willing to go all the way to the resurrection part. Once I get to the resurrection, I'm past the death part. Now, between the death part and the resurrection part is the filling of the Holy Ghost. Because once you get to the resurrection, you, in a way in the world, you go back to the death. See? So this is what I'm saying. Once you really get crucified and then filled, and Christ said, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's no more I but the Christ. I'm gone. Alan is gone. Whatever your name is before you got saved, it's gone. You can't go back and get it. Because you have been crucified. Now you went through the Holy Ghost and been resurrected out of your sinful grave. Tell me how you go back to the cross.
So, Bishop, can I draw your attention to something else and you can teach on it again? So what you're saying to you is that because the disciples, although Christ, they walk with Christ, they saw Christ, but they found it extremely difficult to believe Christ. They found it challenging to actually accept what Christ was teaching. And, you know, Christ says something interesting in John, that except he goes, except a seed dies and goes in the ground and dies, it doesn't bear fruit.
That's
so
right.
We saw that they found it challenging, although they had the word working with them. But then we saw the evidence of it when he died and sent the Holy Ghost, because the disciples were not able to walk with him until he died and sent the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost became the change agent that empowered them to walk with him. Then after that, we saw the same Peter that was denying Christ now speaking up. And they never denied him anymore.
Did he never deny him, but he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like him. So when you crucify me and kill me, hang me upside down.
Can I go back
to that old Peter, huh?
No, go ahead, Bishop. I'll interject when you finish.
He couldn't go back to that old denying Peter, the one where he denied Christ. He couldn't go back because that was dead in Pentecost. Pentecost killed that.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost killed that. The Holy Ghost crucified that old Peter.
Yeah.
See, in the upper room. When Peter got ready to give his life, he said, I'm not worthy. He said, crucify me upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a whole difference between that one that was following Christ and denying him. Because what? He was gone. Old Peter was gone. Now, that's what we have to teach today, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay there till you be endowed with power from on high. Go to Jerusalem.
That's what Jesus told him. He said, go to Jerusalem. He said, in Acts 1 and 8, he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. For he, the Holy Ghost, dwelleth in you, and ye shall be, and shall dwelleth with you, and here's the second part, and shall be in you.
All right.
And then it says, the only way that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost power within you can change you. Because then what Ephesians 3:20 said was, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us.
Dwelleth in us, worketh in us. See, there's a scripture in Romans 8. Romans 8, the very first scripture. And it sort of explains what you all are just talking about. Y'all know that scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 1.
Well, the other thing that what Henry is touching on, the Lord keeps taking me back to 1 John chapter 5. Okay, the record hadn't been established, but once the record has been established, then I can witness of what has been established as the record.
Yes.
So,
Christ,
once Christ was crucified and rose, and the record is established, so then him coming back and denying him, now I can witness, I can testify. Don't nobody in court, they don't ask for people to come and testify before they present the record of the person.
Yes.
The record is presented first, and then you testify of the record. That may be off for some folk, but that's what the Lord
said. No, I got you.
Yeah.
You said Peter really couldn't testify until he witnessed the death.
And that established the record.
Yes, sir.
On earth. Yeah, it was already established in heaven.
Yeah. Because the angel come and said, Mary, thou shalt bring forth a son. and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And his people shall save them from their sin. Well, she says, how can this be? Seeing that I never knew a man. And the angel said, all right, here's your answer. Here's how it's going to happen. Now follow this real close.
Mm-hmm.
He said, behold, you shall conceive in your womb.
Mm-hmm.
And bring forth a son.
Mm-hmm.
And shall call his name Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall be great.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He was telling her what the record was, and when she had Jesus, that was her testifying of what the record
That's
had
right.
already been stated.
Witnessing to the record.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
See, and the angel said, well, you don't need to know a man to do what God wants done. He said, the angel said, the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee.
Mm-hmm.
That's Luke 1:35. And the power of the highest. Now, listen good and close. Power of the highest shall what? Overshadow thee. Now watch this. When a man gets ready to put his seed in a woman, what does he do?
He's over.
He gets over her.
Yes.
So this is God getting over, overshadowing. And he said, therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of you. Well, if your wife gets under you and you get over her and bring the seed and put it in her, then that thing which is born of her is your son.
Right.
And spiritually, that's what God did. He acted, the Holy Ghost acted as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And got over her and put the seed of God. Just like you would put your seed in a woman, he put the seed of God in her womb. And just like the woman you are with would conceive a boy, Mary conceived a boy and called him the Son of God, like you would call that boy that you done it, your son. Is that
right.
clear?
I understand.
Yes. That's the truth, my brother, Brother Poston. That's the truth. Now,
yes.
Mary witnessed that.
The baby
growing in her womb.
Yes.
Was the witness of the truth from the angel.
Yes.
And then when she went to go see Elizabeth, John was a witness to it because he leaped.
Watch out.
And testified of the record that had already been established. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Now, what happened in her womb? What happened to John in that womb?
He got the Holy Ghost.
Come on. Talk to me about the Holy Ghost. He leaped in the womb and was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb.
Yeah.
He come out with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They pulled him out and had the Holy Ghost right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
And from that moment on, all he could say is repent.
Mm.
Because he was born of the Holy Ghost in there.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't nothing else that he could say.
Mm.
Wasn't that wonderful? I sure loved you met that man.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, we're talking about the Holy Ghost here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that same Holy Ghost that John had, that Jesus had, and that they got on the day of Pentecost, is the same one from the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It all comes from there. And that's what we got to have.
Yes.
If God, look, let me say this. If God let any of us off the hook saying you don't have to receive it, then he going to have to apologize.
Yes.
To those that had to get it.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Well, if you read that, you said read Romans 8:1, it says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Now he goes on to say why. Go ahead with number three. What does it say?
For what
the
law
could
not
do.
Mm-hmm.
In that it was
what?
Weak through the flesh.
Come
God,
on,
God,
read it.
Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh.
And what did
he do? Sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
So the Holy Ghost condemns, the Holy Ghost goes in your flesh and condemns the sin in your
flesh.
Can I say one thing, Bishop, and we shouldn't forget who wrote this. It was Paul who wrote this Roman. The book of Roman, the very same one that did not understand and was persecuting the church until he had encounter with Christ and then received to the Holy Spirit. That also brought this witness that, and the witness caused him to write such a thing.
Yes, sir. When he said, for they that are after the flesh. Wait, read number four. Number four says that the righteousness of the law. See, the law is righteous. But they couldn't do the law because they couldn't get the law inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
So God wrapped up the law and put it in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh.
And put it in us.
Mm-hmm.
That the law might be filled where?
In Christ. In the flesh.
No, in verse 4. In verse 4.
Oh.
That the righteousness of the law might be what?
Be fulfilled,
fulfilled
in us. Who walk
in us.
Not after the flesh, but after,
the
Spirit.
See? So the point I'm making is that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. See, the whole thing, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law.
Yes.
But fulfill the law. But you can't fulfill it unless you put it in spirit form.
Yes.
Mm.
He couldn't get in us without transforming the law into spirit form, called the Holy Ghost. Then the law would be fulfilled in us who do what? Who walk what?
Not after the flesh.
But after the spirit. Come on.
The Spirit.
Come on. Come on. So, what that Holy Ghost does, it takes the carnal mind, it kills it. You no longer act carnal, fooling around, playing around with God, and depending on carnality. But you become spiritual minded. Now, what does it mean to become spiritual minded? He said this in Colossians. If you be risen with Christ, seek what? Seek those things which are above.
Yes, and not the
where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, once you become like you and I, why y'all got this program going? Because you're spiritual minded. You know of the urgency of this thing.
Yes, you say it's time
to stop playing. It's time to stop playing around with this thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You become spiritual minded. You had to lose your carnal mind to do what you're doing.
Thank
because
you.
The carnal mind is enmity against God.
right.
and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Right.
See, when you're still in a carnal mind, you can't be subject to God. And God can't use you if you ain't going to be subject. See? And that same eighth verse, or eighth chapter, he said, now, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See? But you are not in the flesh no more, not if you got the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You live in a flesh body, but you yourself in there, you're not in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're on this radio program. You gotta get the world, you gotta get the word out to the world.
Yeah.
But it's a spirit in you making you do that.
Thank
but
you.
But you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. If so, that the Spirit of God, verse 9, dwell in you. Watch this. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now,
right.
go back to what I said about that religion. Jesus, Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his.
Yes.
So now, you can't say everybody going to be saved everywhere, anyhow, under any circumstances, every man going to be saved. Because if that man don't have the Spirit of Christ, he's not going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
According to this right here. If he don't have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his.
None of his.
Huh?
None of his.
Yeah. But if Christ be in you, the body is what? Dead. Because of sin. There's that death.
Mm-hmm.
There's that resurrection. But the Spirit is life. That's a resurrection. The cross kills you. The Holy Ghost gives you life. Then he goes into verse 11 saying, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's that resurrection spirit. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit in that dwelleth in you.
Dwelleth in
what
you.
What you talking? What?
Yeah.
Amen,
I feel
amen,
so
busy.
Amen, amen, huh? Amen. Go ahead and ask your question. Go ahead. Somebody had a question?
Yeah, I wanted to point out one thing, ask Bishop another thing again. So, because we talked about the lady that Jesus was talking to, and he said that except you're born of, he said that he tells the woman that they that worship God may worship him in spirit and in truth. So one key aspect of the Holy Spirit then, because when he talked about they that worship God may worship him in spirit and in truth, because then he's talking about God's nature. That means God is a spirit. He's all powerful. He's infinite. He's love. And so that means if you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, then you have to have his nature.
Yes, sir.
So if you don't have his nature, it makes it impossible to walk with him and to worship him in spirit and in truth. So you can worship him in spirit and in truth. You yourself have to be spiritual. I guess that's why the scripture said that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to him, neither indeed can be, because it's carnal and not spiritual then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because he's
not
a true son. See, if you're not a true son, you're not going to be subject to daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You won't tell daddy to go somewhere.
But what God
but if you're
is,
a true
though,
son,
if we look at it, according to what Henry said, we got to have God's nature. What God did, though, is we were created in his image and his likeness. So we have his nature in the very beginning before the foundation of the world. Now, then when Adam fell, that's when the confusion started. But initially, that nature was there.
You got that right. You got that right. But that nature is fallen.
Right.
Because it said, born in sin,
and shaped in iniquity.
Right. So because of what Adam did, He dropped the nature down below the necessity of being taken to heaven. The nature fell way below that. Yeah, you got it in you. Just like the prodigal son. He stayed in that pig pen until he said, and when he came to himself.
To himself, yes.
He had it in him, but he hadn't come to himself. The nature of his daddy was in him.
Yes.
But he had the pig nature operating over the top of a godly nature. Now, listen to it. Until he said, I will arise.
And go.
See, now just what you said about in the original, yeah, but you got to say, now I'm coming up out of here.
Yes.
I will arise and go to my Father. That's what we got
to do. So once again, he did three things. First of all, he did three things there, that same thing. He came to himself, then he rose, and then he went.
And then he went.
He went to the Father.
And that's what we got to get this generation to do. Come to themselves and say, I will arise.
Right.
And go to,
and
the,
then
Father.
Come to the Father.
It's so much in there because it says he said, I will go. That's like confession unto repentance. The power of life and death is in your tongue. It's what you say. It ain't what you wish. He didn't say, I wish I would go to my Father. He said it. He said it.
And you got to get people to come on up here and confess your sins.
That's what, oh, my God.
You're right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of folks sitting in the seat in the church and ain't going to say nothing. So they ain't ready to bring it out.
Well, I hate to be the news bearer at our time. I said, Lord, this gets so good. I wish we just had hours and hours and hours. But I'm telling you, it is good. We're coming to our final minutes, and we got to do our closing and offer Christ. And we will be back here next week. Don't get discouraged, because I'm telling you, we're going to be right back here next week teaching the gospel. Bishop Allen will be back. Everybody else will be back on the line. Elder Russell, Elder Timberlake, and Elder Dodson, Elder Sister Dodson, Minister Henry, Elder Poston, and myself, and Bishop Allen. We'll be back on the line. And all of those that have logged in, because we have so many people that log in, they're not on the line to talk, but they've logged in and they're listening to this broadcast. And so many people will be listening to it in the archives later on. They'll click on and hear it later on. But we thank God for just such a time as this that we were able to share the gospel, and that our prayerfully that you are being enriched by the word of God, and we're going to try to get it out to as many people as we can, that they will listen to this and that they will hear the word of God, and that they will come to repentance. They will come to themselves, and then they'll arise, and they will go, and they will begin to seek God as never before. We have got to begin to be kingdom-minded people, not just sitting in the church, but we got to be kingdom-minded people, and we got to see, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, this is what we're talking about today. You must have the Holy Ghost if you want to see the kingdom of God. If you want to have eternal life, the Holy Ghost must be in you. And so you have to be living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not just walking and like the disciples were prior to Christ, but you need to be prior after Christ, post-resurrection. You need the Spirit of God to be in you. So that is what we're talking about today. We're so thankful, Bishop, for you coming on the line and teaching us, and all of you that had input, and that the Lord was moving through mightily today. I'm just so excited. I get so excited about the whole thing. I'm just over here having a fit. But anyway, I'm thankful for that. And so right now what I want to do is, Elder Russell, I know you're still on the line. I would love for you to be able to do our invitation to Christ.
Wait a minute. What Russell is that on the line? What Russell?
Her name is Elder Shirley Russell. I don't think you've ever met her personally. Well, she lives in Dallas, Texas. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
And she is, And so she was on the line. You were talking to her just a few minutes ago. Elder Russell, if you're still on the line, would you do our invitation to Christ? Okay, would you do our invitation to Christ? And then I'm going to ask Minister Henry if you would pray, if you would do our final prayer. And as I said before, we will be back here again next week. I want everybody to please hold up Bishop Allen in prayer and all of those on the line, each and every one of us. You know the things that God, that you have desired from God and that we need to do for the kingdom of God. And right now, I'll just say it. I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of your lives, and that God will do exceeding abundantly above all that you could even ask or think, and that you will have the desires of your heart. He will meet every need, and that everything that you do shall prosper. And every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that will God give unto you. So I pray in the name of Jesus of your life that he will keep you, that he will keep you safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Despite of what's going on in the world, the blood of Jesus is covering you. God has you in that special place of protection, and we thank God for his protection over your life. That Elder Russell, pray it all for Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Those of you that had the opportunity to listen to this message on the power of the Holy Ghost today, and you have been touched by this message, we're asking you today to accept Christ as your Savior, to make that change in your life to eternity. If you would accept him, ask him to come into your life, forgiveness for sin, believe he died on the cross and was risen from the dead, you are saved. We live in a time now, such a time that we need Christ so bad. And we ask you today that you would accept Christ. This day, not tomorrow. No one knows what tomorrow holds. And those of you that have decided that this is the life you want to live, live for Christ. Find your Bible church that teaches the Bible, teaches about the Word and being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Then you shall be saved. You have to study the Word, to keep yourself motivated in God's Word. You have to study His Word, His divine Word. It gives you directions in all areas. In all areas. The Bible says if one accept Christ as a Savior, the angels rejoice in heaven. Mm-hmm. And we so thank you today. We thank you today. And we glorify all of you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for our lives and our health and our strength. We thank you for our bishop and the great teaching. Father, we thank you. Father, we have spoken your word to your people, saints, unbelievers. Now, dear God, by your Holy Spirit, you equip your people even further as we have sought to equip even the saints. You equip them further by your Holy Spirit. We can only go so far, oh God, but you can reach them in ways that we can, and we pray that you reach them. Even those that are hearing that's not saved or have backslidden. Dear God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, they have heard, oh God, you bear witness to what we have spoken, oh God. We thank you. You seal it by your Holy Spirit in them. Again, we thank you for everybody on the line. Thank you for our bishop. Even pour into him more that we can receive more from him next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank everybody for listening, and we thank everybody for being on the line. And we will see you back here next week at this same time. God bless each and every one of you. And you have been listening to the Prosperous Souls. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen.
Amen.